Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN. Presented by the Windjammer Restaurant and Upper Deck Pub. Local, fresh, and Burlington's original steak and seafood restaurant. Now, here's your host, Brady Farkas.
What's up, everybody? Brady Farkas, Champlain Valley Game Night right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. And as always, you can also find us always on the 101.3 ESPN app. And you can just talk to us in your house and find us on your Alexa, on your Amazon Echo. Just ask Alexa to stream WCPV. You guys are getting smart speakers and all that stuff. We're getting smarter, too. So ask Alexa, again, to stream WCPV. We go up until 6:25 today, and then we bring you Red Sox baseball game one of a four-game set between the Red Sox and Orioles. It's Chris Tillman against Eduardo Rodriguez. We will have that coverage for you again, 6:25. We'll give you the lineups at about 6:15 here in Champlain Valley Game Night. What's coming up soon for the station that you need to know about? Tuesday night, Trivia, Burger Bar in Colchester. I'll be hosting 7:30 to 9:30. Wednesday, we're broadcasting live from the UPS store on North Avenue in Burlington. Brady, why is a sports radio show broadcasting live from the UPS store? Well, Tuesday is tax day, so that's the day everybody hates across the country. Tuesday is tax day. If you come and see us during our show, 4 till 7 for the Huddle and Champlain Valley Game Night, again, Wednesday the 18th, UPS store, North Avenue in Burlington, they're going to do free shredding of all your documents if you bring in 5 pounds or less. So you do get all this paperwork ready for taxes. You don't want paper trail and all that stuff. Bring it with you when you come see us do the show, and it will be free for them to shred your documents. So that is an absolute win. Really, what is a crummy week when you talk about being tax week? But nobody loves that week unless you get a great tax return. Then everybody loves that week. So that's coming up on Wednesday. As for what's coming up today, is the Red Sox strong start indicative of long-term success? Some notes on Sonny Gray of the Yankees. I'll give you a little more on Kraft Hockeyville USA as we try to get Middlebury to win. But first, Bill Belichick had his first media availability today since the owners' meetings back in March. And this is the pre-NFL draft media availability. Now we are inside 2 weeks until the draft, and everybody excited about that. Belichick says that the Patriots don't draft based on need. And his quote is, well, the whole draft thing is, I don't really understand it. You put up a card on the board. That doesn't mean the guy's a good player. I think it's important to acquire good players wherever they are. If you take a player at a position that might be a so-called need, but he's not good enough to fill that need, then it's a wasted pick. So I don't understand the whole need thing. I understand player value, and that's what we try to go by. I get what Bill Belichick is saying, but it's got to be a little tongue-in-cheek, right? He's saying, well, why would we quote, need a left tackle because we lost Nate Solder and because Cameron Fleming left and signed with Dallas? We need a left tackle. Well, why would we take a left tackle if there's not a left tackle good enough to be drafted in the first round? We would take a good player. We may not, quote, need a defensive back, but if that's a great player, then we're going to take him over a position that we, quote, need when the player's not as good. Well, yes, Bill, that is very true. You're not going to overdraft somebody at your slot just because the outside world thinks you have a need to fill or you have, you know, a free agent who's vacated a spot. However, it works the other way too. There have been good players at quarterback in the last 15 years that have come in the draft that have been available to the Patriots. The Patriots haven't drafted any of them. Why? Because they had Tom Brady. They did not have a need at quarterback. So it goes both ways. I understand what Bill Belichick is saying. He's saying they're not going to overdraft players just because we, the media, have said that the Patriots have a, quote, need. They're not going to overdraft somebody. But you're also not going to go out of your way. You're going to pass on good players if you are what you think is completely set at a position. Last year, Patriots did not draft a quarterback. Tom Brady, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jacoby Brissett, they started training camp for this team. They were on the roster at the time of the NFL draft. They did not draft a quarterback. There was no need there. There was no fit there. And the Patriots passed on every good quarterback that was there because they didn't have a need. That is the way Bill Belichick operated. This year, I don't see the Patriots drafting a wide receiver in the top four rounds. I really don't. Because why? There's no need. They're going to pass on a number of, quote, as he says, good players with, quote, good value, because there is not a pressing need. This is a team, as we've talked about. Julian Edelman, Jordan Matthews, Chris Hogan, Malcolm Mitchell, Kenny Britt, Philip Dorsett, Matthew Slater. I mean, that's seven wide receivers right there. The Patriots are going to have good receivers available to them in rounds one through four, and I don't believe they'll take any of them because there's not a need there. So it goes both ways. Bill Belichick saying his team won't overdraft. That's 100% right. They're not going to reach just because. And he's right to do that. But they're also not going to take good players. They're going to pass on good players when there is no opportunity there for them to help the roster. So I get what Belichick is saying, but again, it goes the other way also. There's a melting point between those two scenarios. Champlain Valley Game Night on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. You can always get in on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. Again, get you those Red Sox and Orioles lineups in about 7-8 minutes from now. Team that the Red Sox beat yesterday, obviously, is the Yankees. And I saw this on Twitter today. Somebody wrote, "What's wrong with Sonny Gray? Should we," meaning the Yankees, "should we put him on the trade block?" And it's a fascinating case study when you look at Sonny Gray. Sonny Gray has phenomenal stuff. But since coming to the Yankees last year, he's 4-7. And he struggled yesterday. You look at yesterday, he goes just three innings. He gives up six earned runs. In the second inning, he gives up four runs. Starts his inning with single, walk, wild pitch, single, walk. I said this about Rick Porcello, and it maintains truth for Sonny Gray. The best advice I was ever given by any pitching coach was, simply put, you can give up walks, you can give up hits, but you can't give up both. You can give up walks, you can give up hits, you can't give up both. Look at closers. Closers who have iffy command, and they throw really hard, they don't know where it's going. You know what? They do walk people. Billy Wagner walked people. Edwin Diaz with my Mariners last year walks a lot of people. This year he doesn't, but last year he did. He didn't give up a lot of hits. When you throw 99 with devastating breaking stuff, you don't give up hits. You walk a guy, you go 2-2 on 3-2 on somebody else, and you strike everybody out. When you are a guy who gives up walks, you cannot afford to give up hits. That's what good closers generally do. Great closers don't have pinpoint command for the most part. They're gonna put people on base, but they don't give up hits. So Sonny Gray yesterday in the second inning, single, walk, wild pitch, single, walk. And all of a sudden you look at four runs and you're only giving up a handful of hits, but you're doing both. You're giving up hits and you're giving up walks. You can't do both. And this stems from what we have said about Sonny Gray ever since he got to New York. Listen to this. Last October, in Game 5 of the ALDS against Cleveland, Joe Girardi opted to start CC Sabathia. He opted to start CC Sabathia, a 37-year-old lefty with knee problems, who is a soft tosser, in Game 5 over Sonny Gray, the guy they coveted at the trade deadline and the guy they went and gave up a couple of good prospects for. They elected to start CC Sabathia over Sonny Gray. We had Buster Olney, our ESPN MLB insider, on that day, the day of Game 5. And we said, "Buster, why is Sonny Gray not pitching tonight?" And here is what he said. Listen to this, because this is critical.
"The one thing that the Yankees have seen in Sonny Gray since he joined the team is that somehow he seems, he pitches defensively at times. He doesn't attack hitters. And I think that next spring there's probably going to be a lot of conversation between the Yankees and Sonny Gray that, hey, your stuff is better than you think it is."
So that was Buster Olney last October with us about why Sonny Gray wasn't pitching Game 5 against Cleveland. Buster says the Yankees have noticed he pitches defensively. They noticed that basically your stuff is better than you think you are. That's code for you pitch scared, you don't trust your stuff. And that manifested itself last night. It's manifested itself this season. Listen to these statistics on Sonny Gray. Listen, since coming to the Yankees, this was last season, Sonny Gray had a 3.7 walks per nine ratio. That was the highest of his career. As a starting pitcher, you're going to give up hits. I just told you, you can't give up both. Walks and hits, pick one, you can't give up both. Starters give up hits. They're in the game a long time. They give up singles, they give up doubles, they give up home runs. He had the highest walk rate of his career last year. This year, in three starts, get this. Sonny Gray's walks per nine is 4.8. That's scary enough. The other side of the coin is he's also got the highest strikeout rate of his career right now. He's striking out more than 10 batters per nine innings. You look at that and say, that's great, Brady, striking a lot of guys. I look at it and say, this is all pointing even more to what Buster Olney said again. 10.8 strikeouts per nine, highest of his career. 4.8 walks per nine, highest of his career. What does that tell me? That tells me Sonny Gray is being somebody who nibbles too much, who pitches on the corners, and is afraid of contact. He pitches defensively, as Buster Olney told us last October. That is what that message is telling me. He is a guy who is afraid to get hit. He is missing bats, because when you hit those corners, you're nasty. When guys chase that breaking ball in the dirt, you're nasty. But he also pitches afraid, and when guys lay off that, you get the walks. So you're looking at a guy who he's afraid to pitch in the zone. Everything is a strikeout or a walk. And then when you pair that, I mean, two hits in the second inning yesterday, you pair that with two walks and a wild pitch, well, then things snowball. And Sonny Gray, he even told you that yesterday after the game, because I think that was his exact word, snowball.
A couple walks and a couple big hits, and the next thing you know, you can give up four runs pretty easily. So I think that was kind of it.
That was it. And then Aaron Boone says, you know what? There's not that much more to the story other than Sonny Gray not trusting his stuff. He didn't use those exact words, but when you're walking everybody or striking everybody out, you're behind in the count a lot. You're throwing a lot of pitches. You have to fight back. Here's what Aaron Boone said after the game.
Getting behind too many hitters, deep counts. You know, we didn't play great behind them. Just couldn't get on track tonight. And from a stuff standpoint, I thought he came out. I thought the stuff was good early. I thought, you know, we saw the fastball velocity there in that first inning. Just couldn't get settled in, and then we didn't play great behind him.
Could not get settled in. Sonny Gray has electric stuff. He's 91 to 94. He's got an unbelievable curveball, good movement on his pitches, but he doesn't seem to trust it. And if I'm Joe Girardi previously and Aaron Boone now, I have to figure out a way to get to him because he needs to pitch to contact more. Look at Rick Porcello. Rick Porcello last year gave up the most hits in baseball, 226, I think it was. And he had the most walks of his entire career. I'm going to get this tattooed on my forehead eventually. You can give up walks, you can give up hits, you can't give up both. Last year, Rick Porcello gave up both. And that's what happens. He goes 22-4 and wins the Cy Young in 2016. And last year, he's barely, he's under 500 and has an ERA of, almost 5. Well, that's the difference. More walks, most hits in baseball, a lot of home runs. You don't get breaks. Sonny Gray, I'm telling you now, he's pitching scared. He's pitching in the corners. Most strikeouts of his career is great. Most walks of his career is not. That all sums up to me a guy who's afraid to pitch to contact. Everything is either a strikeout or a walk. And then when you throw in the inevitable hits that starters give up, you're not destined to last very long. And take this from somebody who knows. It takes work to strike people out. It takes 4, 5, 6 pitches. We'll call it 5. So if I'm striking out 10 batters per 9 innings, well, then I'm throwing a bunch of pitches on strikeouts. It takes, at the bare minimum, 4 pitches to walk a guy. So we'll just call it 6 pitches. And then I'm getting 4 walks per 9. That's 6. I'm throwing a lot of pitches on just strikeouts and walks. I'm not going very deep into games. So this is a real concern for me if I'm a Yankee fan in what they do with Sonny Gray, how they get through to him. He is too good to be pitching defensively. Again, Buster Olney, last October, this is what the Yankees saw.
The one thing that the Yankees have seen in Sonny Gray since he joined the team is that somehow he seems he pitches defensively at times. He doesn't attack hitters.
And there you go. He doesn't attack hitters. What have we seen from Rick Porcello early on? He's not afraid to throw strikes. He's not afraid to pitch to contact. Rick Porcello is going to give up hits. But you know what he has? One walk right now. one walk this season. 21 innings or what? Or 19 and two-thirds innings. He's got one walk. He's not afraid to give up hits. And it's okay to give up. It takes three singles to score a run. Sometimes it takes three hits to get a run scored in Major League Baseball. Three singles. I'll take my odds of that, of giving up three singles before I'm just going to put you on base. Because walking people never bodes well. But when you couple it with giving up hits, like Gray did yesterday, you're doomed. Here we go. Champlain Valley game night. Time for the lineups. Red Sox getting ready for the Orioles.
It's almost that time. Baseball is in the air, and the Red Sox are about to take the field. So let's give you the lineups and the pitching matchup right now on your home for Red Sox baseball, 101.3 ESPN.
Glennon Monckton does say there's a ton of great players in baseball, but it's a different kind of animal to play in New York and Boston. I don't know that Sonny Gray is afraid to play in New York. I think Sonny Gray is afraid to throw the ball over the plate and is afraid to get hit right now. That's what I think. Orioles and Red Sox, the O's are 5-8. The Sox are 10-2. Real quick, the Red Sox are off to one of their best starts in history. None of the last 15 Red Sox teams have started better than 8-4. So just know that the Red Sox are playing special right now. But that doesn't always mean that you're going to be good. Get this. 10 teams have started 10-2 or better since 2002. Four of them have finished below 500. Well below 500. So the Red Sox are playing great. They're off to a great start, but it doesn't mean they're destined for the World Series yet. Pitching matchup, Chris Tillman's on the mound for the O's, 0-2 with an 8.68 ERA. Eduardo Rodriguez, 0-0 with a 7.36. He had an uneven debut in 3 2/3 innings in his last time out. Trey Mancini leads off and left for the O's. Manny Machado's at shortstop hitting second. Jonathan Scopes at second. He hits third. Adam Jones, he hits cleanup and plays center. Danny Valencia is the DH. He hits fifth. Chris Davis hitting 122. The slugging first baseman is hitting sixth. Tim Beckham is at third. Craig Gentry, the speedy outfielder, is in right. And Caleb Joseph, he is the catcher. The defense behind Eduardo Rodriguez, Mookie Betts in right. Andrew Benintendi in left. Mitch Moreland's at first. Hanley not playing tonight. J.D. Martinez, the DH. Rafael Devers is at third. Eduardo Nunez back in the lineup today at second. Jackie Bradley Jr. in center. Christian Vasquez is the catcher. And Su-Wei Lin, he hits ninth and plays shortstop. Brock Holt not playing today. That will do it for us. Red Sox baseball is coming up next. Remember, Bruins hockey in the playoffs is tomorrow on 101.3 ESPN at 7:30. Celtics on the Zone on Sunday. It's been a great week. CraftHockeyville.com. Middlebury needs your help. CraftHockeyville.com. We'll see you Monday.